Somebody said I didn't have a job, but I still have a roof over my head. Come on, somebody. Wow, we give him the yada. Lord, pass the bread. Thank God for allowing us to be able to give His glory today. Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And because nobody else can make a day but God. And so that's why we give Him the honor, the glory, and the praise. We'll go to our invocational hymn, Psalm number 24, the Psalm of David. Earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He is founded upon the seas and established upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up the everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift Him up the everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him.
Good morning, Pastor Kayson. Good morning, Heart of God Baptist Church. Let us pray. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we come this morning with a heart of gratitude and praise. We come thanking You, Father, because truly You've been mighty good unto us. We thank You, Father, because of Your grace and Your mercy. We now have another day that we can praise You and give You the glory, the honor, and the praise. And, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. And, Father God, we thank You for Your glory this morning. We thank You for the power of Your Holy Spirit, and we thank You for Your darling Son, Jesus. We thank You for Your word of truth, O God, that has brought us Jesus' righteousness. And, Father God, we thank You, Father, because truly You've been mighty good unto us. We thank You, Father God, because You haven't dealt with us according to our sins and our iniquities, O God, but You've given us one more opportunity to get it right with You. And so, Father God, I pray in the precious name of Jesus that as You move from heart to heart and breast to breast, O God, if you see anything this morning that's not pleasing in Your sight, we pray, Father, that You will wash us and clean us from all unrighteousness. And fill us with more and more of Your love, more and more of Your Holy Spirit, that we will be more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father God, I pray, sweet Holy Spirit, that You will come in, and as You move from heart to heart and breast to breast, that You will, Father God, just get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We pray, O God, that You will continue to bless and keep Pastor Kayson. Thank You for bringing him back from the vacation. Thank You for the rest that You allowed him to receive, O God. Father God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that You continue to give him Your divine inspiration. And as he preached the word today, O God, I pray that someone will come to know You as Lord and Savior. We pray, Father God, your blessing upon First Lady Quezon. We pray that you will continue to be her help, her strength, and her way maker. Father God, we pray that you look on the First Family in a special manner. And then, oh God, we pray for each and every member of the Heart of God. Father God, you know what they're standing in need of this morning, Lord Jesus. So I pray that you will meet their every need, Father. And, oh God, I pray that as the various members and loved ones, Father God, listen to you, Father God, through the airways, oh God. Father God, that they will be strengthened, they will be healed, they will be delivered through your word. Father God, I pray that you will have your will in your way. And then, oh God, I pray that you will look on all those this morning that are sick and shut in hospitals, homes, and those that are convalescing at home. Be their healer, their strength, and their way maker. Father God, we thank you, we bless you, and we praise you. And we pray this day, oh God, that your name will be glorified, Father God. Help us to lift you up, Lord Jesus, that you might draw all men unto you. Hallelujah to your name this morning. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. And we thank you, and we love you again. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Lindsay, for fervent prayer this morning. We know that prayer, amen, is what borders all safely thus far, amen. There's something about prayer, amen, that you don't have to be in the same place as the person or the thing you're praying with for. That you can go to the Lord in prayer, amen, in your heart, amen. And know that God is here, a prayer answering God, amen. Here's a song, amen, that we were preparing for our sermon, amen. In the Gospel of John, in the 15th chapter, Jesus called his disciples friends. Amen? Amen. And I don't know about you, amen, but I like being a friend of God. Amen? And hymn number 340, I believe, number 340, is entitled, amen, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And the first verse says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
I know I am
to the Lord in prayer. Somebody, know that one. Nobody's going to sing.
Friend, amen. See, this friend won't tell all your business. Have I got a witness? Amen.
talk to the parking lot. Jody gonna tell you business, see, man. Yeah. Say, oh baby, you got what I need, amen. But you say he's just a friend, amen. But he's a show no friend in Jesus, amen. So we're gonna ask somebody has a testimony about being a friend of God. You'll start over here, amen. You're a friend, you got your friend.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for another day. My friend, who has called me friend, touched me with a finger with his finger of love this morning. Open my eyes one more time. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord one more time. Thank you for all that God has done for me, for what he is doing for me, and for where he brought me from. For every trial and tribulation, made me stronger in him. And I've learned to lean and depend more on him. And I had to realize at some point, see, God puts us in position sometimes to let us know that we're not the ones in control, that he is the one in
control. Come on.
And so with that in mind, you all be blessed and stay blessed. Yeah. Have a good week.
We have another testimony this morning. Praise the Lord.
Definitely give an honor and privilege to be here again one more time to fellowship with people. All you guys are my home away from home. Truly didn't understand what it means to be a friend of God until probably recently. I definitely have to do better. It seems like I was only seeking God's friendship when I was faced with adversity.
That's right.
The Lord spoke to me and said, I'm always here. I'm always your friend. So we have to be mindful that when we seek the presence of God and seek his friendship, don't just do it when the chips are down. We need to seek his friendship each and every day that God allows us to walk this earth and encounter our brothers and our sisters and give them a good word. So being a friend is not one time. We would want anyone to treat us like that, so why do we treat the Lord in such a manner? So I'm preaching to myself, but I definitely want to just try to do better. So I ask that you guys continue to just pray for me and continue to pray for my walk in Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, church. You talk about a friend. The Bible speaks of him being a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. And so I'm just grateful to have this friend in my corner. I had a whole lot of friends, and they mean too much to me.
Come on, talk.
And when I was sick, they couldn't do anything about it. When I was going through what I was going through, all they did was tell it to the street. Amen. But this is the friend that wants to keep on hearing that same song. This is the friend that when everybody else is gone, this is the one that you can lean and depend on. We often talk about the midnight hour, but I be needing them in the noonday, amen. I be needing them in the morning, and he's still there. So he's that friend that I really need, and I'm glad that he called me friend. The greater love has no man than this, and the man that lays life down for his friends, amen. So I'm just grateful, and I'm just blown by, you know, that he called me a friend, even when I wasn't even thought of yet, amen. Nearly 2,000 years ago, a lot of us wasn't thought about. Our parents wasn't thought about. Their parents wasn't thought about. But then he still called us a friend. So I'm just glad that that I got a friend like Jesus, amen.
My testimony this week. Thank God for what he's doing in my life.
Amen.
My family, my wife. Big accomplishment coming up this week is I got an interview for what I've been trying to do for the last 5 years. And I'm sure everything will
perfect.
Thank God for that. Put me in places where I needed to be. Thank God for having family around to see people and help. Thank God for all my friends.
Amen. Amen.
We got one in your back.
Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I have been my friend with being up and down.
Yeah.
My friend when that hit my house. When the things get rough, his dad would walk me in the house.
Yeah.
I think my friend is literally going to give up.
Yeah.
I think my friend is telling me to keep going on.
Come on.
I just think my friend is just being there. I said friend. He's a friend. Friend.
All right.
He's a friend.
First Lady in the Heart of God Baptist Church. I praise God this morning for his darling son Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Even though I'm not there in presence this morning, I'm there in spirit, and I just thank God for being that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, for being that friend that never leave you nor forsake you. I thank God for being that friend that he looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. And Lord knows I needed a Savior. So I thank God this morning for being that friend that's more than enough. And being that friend that sometimes when I don't know what to say and what to do, that God always hears. He always sees. He always listens. And he never criticizes. He's a friend that loves in spite of what it be like, look like, feel like. God is the all-present, the all-knowing, the all-seeing friend. He is more than enough. And I praise God this morning. I just want to leave a few words with you. I thank God that he confirms so much to us through his word and through the power of his Holy Spirit. And Minister Harris, I was going to share about Jesus being that friend, no greater friend, that he laid down his life, that he died for us. And Minister Harris said that. Then I was going to say that there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, Minister Harris said that. And so I thank God that even though we are not there sometime in person, the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit is there, and he's combining hearts and spirits together, unity in one. And the songwriter said there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one.
And I also said this morning, we can go to my next call. Lance 7611. Good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. It said to everybody, the smile on your face is not your friend. You only get one or two friends. I'm so lucky that I had two friends, and I got one that's still with me, and I'm so thankful that the good Lord left him with me. And I thank that he let me store all my eyes in the morning and show me where my friend is. I'm so glad I got one friend still left with me in my heart. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We want to give a shout out to Deacon Bright. Amen. We know. Amen. She's on the line. Amen. Reverend Lindsay dropped off from us. But we thank God for her testimony. Thank God for everyone's testimony. For those who are here that didn't want to share. For those that are online that don't want to share. Long as you can talk to the Lord. Amen. It's going to be all right. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we thank God for all of those sharing about their friends. We have a couple things coming up this month. One of the things is our Unity service is going to be on a third Sunday. And we'll have some refreshments after our 10:30 service. We're going to have everyone who is part of the family come and get together with us as we have a Unity service. And then our young adults are going to be on the fourth Sunday. Amen. Full Sunday. Amen. You want to say something about the full Sunday. This is going to be an afternoon service.
Our Unity Bible will be held on the fourth Sunday afternoon time. I'll have to get back to y'all at 3 o'clock.
You say you want to do like closing or something? Okay. All right. So we got a couple things going on. On the third Sunday, the fourth Sunday, decided in your heart to come and fellowship with us. Third Sunday will be the Unity service. Get ready for 10:30 service. And then the fourth Sunday will be 3 o'clock service. Amen. And come on out. Amen. Fellowship, both services. We know it's the end of the summer, and we just want to continue fellowship and give God the honor, the glory, and the praise that he so richly deserves. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are getting ready to go to the Lord in prayer. I ask Mr. Harris to get ready to lead us in prayer. We know that all of us stand in need of prayer. Amen. And want to pray for Sister Randolph. Amen. Sister Randolph had a fall on yesterday. Randolph had a fall and broke her wrist. Amen. So we want to pray God's healing, God's protection on her, that she would have healing and that God would help her with pain. Fortunately, her daughter is here with her, but she went to the doctor on yesterday and has a plan to go back to the doctor on tomorrow. Also pray for Zoe, granddaughter Zoe, amen. Grandson Noah, amen. They're growing and getting ready to go to school, amen. Pray God continue blessing and healing all them. Pray for all of our children, amen, all over this country. Amen. Getting ready to go back to school. Y'all remember how it was the first day of school, right? Amen. Amen. Pray that God will keep his hand of protection around them. Pray for all the teachers, all the parents, the guardians, that God would keep them and they will be able to learn and participate in a godly way. Pray for our family, friends, and on vacation. Thank God for Vince's High School last Sunday. First Lady and I were away. Praise God for a little time of rest and relaxation. Praise God for the church continuing to go on and continue to worship God. So we thank God for that. Continue to pray for all of our extended family members.
The message from Deacon Bryce.
Okay, it's a message from Deacon Bryce. Amen. I can't see it. Let me see it. Let me read it. That's First Lady read that message from Deacon Bryce.
Deacon Bryce says, First Lady, I wanted to share with you all that the Lord has done. The doctor said I probably wouldn't make it about a year ago, but God. If it had not been for the Lord and the Savior, my healer, I am still here. I can walk with the walker 120 feet. The God be the glory. Hallelujah.
What are we doing? Yes, we be. Praise the Lord, church. Come on, y'all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on now. So every time that I pray, I like to call on the name of Jesus, amen? So everybody in the room can just say Jesus. Or call his name like you know something. Say Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus, amen? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come to say thank you. Father God, we thank you for that praise report. Father God, that you're still in the blessing business, you're still in the healing business. Father God, we want to say thank you in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you specialize in the impossibility. And we just want to say thank you right now in the name of Jesus. And whatever, Father God, is going on in our lives, Father God, we know that it's not only something to say it's over, Father God. So we want to say thank you right now for the doubters and the naysayers, God, so that we're able, Father God, to show them that you are the truth, powerful God. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, to bind up the adversary right now in the name of Jesus. Any sickness in you. Anything that's going on in our lives, Father God, that we need strength, we just ask you to straighten it, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that even though, Father God, that you might not heal us on this side, but that you are right with us, Father God. The word says that you know I walk through the body of the shadow of death, Father God, I will fear no evil. You are with us, Father God, that your rod and your staff, it comforts us, God. We want to say thank you, Father God, for all the trials and the tribulations
come this far, Father God. We want to say thank you right now, Father God. We in the world that needs you, Father. We in the world, Father God, that all hell is breaking loose, Father God. But you said in your word, Father God, that if you make us, if we make you the fortress, Father God, that 10,000 may fall on the left, Father God, and 10,000 may fall on the right, Father God, but none of that will come to our head. So we just want to say thank you for your word, Father God. We ask you, Father God, to bless the heart of God right now in the name of Jesus. The ones that are here, Father God, the ones that aren't here, Father God, we just want you to bless them right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Father God, to go to the hospitals, Father God, and the jail cells, Father God, to let these ones know, Father God, that if you're not saying a sinners, Father God, you're wasting your time. Father God, we want to say thank you right now. Father God, we want to thank you for making this thing to finish here, Father God, that on the third day, Father God, you rose with all power in your hands, Father God. We want to say thank you, Jesus, that you didn't think of it was robbery, Father God, but you just got up on that cross, Father God, to save a sinner like me, amen? We just want to say thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Have your way in this service, Father God. Touch the one that's going to bring the bread of life, Father God. Help us not to harden our hearts, Father God, but to open our ears, Father God, and to open our spirit, Lord, that we receive a blessing from you. Father God, it ain't always easy, Father God, walking this walk, Father God. I just want to be honest, Father God, but I want to say it's worth it, and I thank you, Father God, for everything that we endure on this walk, Father God, the detours, Father God, the times where we feel like, Father God, we just can't make it. Sometimes, Father God, that the weight of the world, Father God, is just on our shoulders, Father God, but we understand that we serve the all true and the wise God, and we just want to say thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We ask your blessings on these kids, Father God, and bring them back to the schools, Father God. Let your mother fall afresh in the name of Jesus in these schools and these teachers, Father God, that no hurt, harm, and danger will come to our kids, Father God. No hurt, harm, and danger will come to these schools, Father God, but you put your hands of protection around them, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus. To see what's going on in this world, Father God. But this is nothing that catches you by surprise, Father God. So we just want to say thank you for being the all-knowing and all-powerful God. We surrender our will to you right now in the name of Jesus. I'm going to say we love you, we praise you, and we lift you up, Father God. We glorify your name right now. We thank you for all the blessings, Father God. We thank you for Jesus Christ right now in the name of Jesus, that she's a living witness and a living testimony, Father God, that you're able, Father God, to heal our sick bodies, Father God, that you're able to calm our doubts, Father God. Father God, we just want to say thank you for not seeing our fault, Father God, but seeing that we need a need, Father God. That we had a need for you, Father. We want to say we're thankful, we love you, and praise you in Jesus' name. There's power in Jesus' name. There's restoration in Jesus' name. We love you, we praise you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Church, amen. What a powerful prayer, powerful testimony. We understand that our words have power. That we need to speak the word of God. We do remember Genesis. Before the world was formed, and God spoke. And when he spoke it, it came into existence. Y'all do remember that, right? Somebody said God still speaks. God still speaks. And that's the thing about the word of God that's so powerful, is that every word of God is true. And so when we looked at this chapter 15, and we have been preaching a series of sermons on of faith. Talk about faith the size of a mustard seed. And we're talking about how God delivered so many people because of their faith. And one Sunday we talked about crumbs, the crumbs that were on the table. And the woman said, I understand that this message is to the Jews, but even the dogs eat crumbs that fall from the king's table. That got Jesus' attention. He said, oh, woman, what kind of faith do you have? You are so persistent that even the blessings of the crumb, amen. And he said, because of your faith, amen, that God had made a daughter whole. That God had moved the mountain and made the lunatic whole because they had faith the size of a mustard seed. So God used ordinary things like bread, like mustard seed, amen, to get his powerful message across. And so when I first started reading the Bible, I read this Gospel of John. It was the 15th chapter. Amen. And it's like 27 verses. But in those 27 verses, he teaches us how to be disciples, how to be friends of God, and how to love each other. All in those 27 verses. And one of the biggest verses that I found, amen, is that Jesus said, I came to do all of this for you, to bless you, to deliver you from sin, bring you the Holy Spirit, and perform all these miracles, healing the lunatic, moving the mountain, doing all these things. And he said, even when I did it, amen, people hated me without a cause. Think about that. You're doing all this good in the world, and people are hating you without a cause. Hate is a serious word. Look what he says in John 15, verses 24 and 25. And he says, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, in other words, Jesus said, I came and did what nobody else could. Because somebody said, Jesus can do what nobody else can do. And he said, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. In other words, Jesus said that the works that I did, the miracles that I did, showed them, amen, that they were sinners. And because it showed them that they were sinners, they hated me and my Father. Lord have mercy. So in this 15th chapter, he talks about Jesus, and he talks about the Father, and he talks about the Holy Spirit. If you go to verse 25, he says, but this cometh to pass. In other words, the reason why they hate me, the reason why they hate my Father, in verse 25, he says, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. In other words, it's their law. It's their word. They know their word. But I came to tell them, amen, I did this, I lived this, I became this, I was the Savior, I am the anointed one, the promise from God, and you turned your back on me, so now you're guilty of sin, but I just came to show you, amen, who you really are. The word of God came to show everybody who they are. So you can hide, and you can perpetrate, and you can pretend all you want, but the word of God will find you where you're at. You can fool me, amen, call me a fool, amen, but you can't fool God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so he says, they hated me, verse 25, they hated me without a cause. Your Savior, my Savior, hated his Father and the Son without a cause. And he goes on in verse 26, but he says, but when the Comforter is come, that's first, talking about the Holy Spirit, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. In other words, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus ascended and went back to the throne of God, the Holy Spirit is running the show now. And the Holy Spirit will testify and will give you the words to testify against people that hate you without a cause. Lord have mercy.
In other words, Jesus is preparing us to be those people that will stand up in the midst of an evil and perverse world and tell the truth about God. This is what it means to be a disciple. And in verse 27, he says, "And ye also shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." And so I say all that to say is that God is preparing his church, amen, to be a witness in the midst of an evil and perverse world. In other words, everywhere you and I go, we have been ordained, amen, to be able to stand as light in darkness. We have been ordained to carry the Holy Spirit, amen, and speak truth to the light. We have been ordained, we have been prepared by God, amen, to be a witness, amen, to the truth about God, amen. And God says, because you're going to be a witness, because you're going to tell the truth, because you're going to stand in the midst of darkness as a light in darkness, because you're going to be offensive to people because of your life, because of the word, because of the spirit, they are going to hate you without what? A cause. But God wanted to let you know, amen, that they hated him and his father first. Whatever. And if they hated Jesus for doing miracles, and they hated his father for doing miracles, and they hated the Holy Spirit for performing miracles, when you begin to start producing and witnessing and performing miracles, guess what? They're going to what? Hate you too. Whatever. And they ask the question, how in the midst of your trial, Deacon Bryce, in the midst of your sickness, Miss Kayson, in the midst of your going through whoever you are on your job, how in the midst of this can you still give God the glory? How you can still give God the praise? How you can still say, even though I'm going through, yes, but I praise him, how can you still do it? Because nobody in this world, amen, unless they know Jesus for themselves, cannot say that God, even though I'm going through, I still will bless your name at all times, and your praise will continue to be in my mouth. Because my God, because in the midst of my trial, my tribulation, my situation, my circumstance, God, you still have been good. And because you are telling somebody in the midst of your limping, in the midst of your brokenness, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your losing job, in the midst of your money getting low, in the midst of your issues and problems on your job and in your family, you still say, I'm still going to trust God, because God still specializes in things that we call what? Impossible.
Yeah. Come on now.
So God sets us up that way. And he says, but not only that, look at somebody say, but not only that, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be what? Done unto you. But the problem is, Lord have mercy, too many of us Christians get weary. Come on now. We get too tired and we get too frustrated, amen, when the enemy comes in like a flood. But God says when the enemy comes in like a flood, he's going to what? Lift the standard. What does that mean? That means that no matter how high the water going to get, no matter how torrential the rain's going to come, amen, no matter how hard the floods are going to get, God always has a way to lift the standard and have you standing above the flood.
Come on.
Whatever. But God says, I want you to be aware, amen, that there are going to be seasons, amen, in your life where you're going to have to regenerate, amen. And when you regenerate, it's going to look like sometimes that God's out there with you. Everybody with you? There's going to be some dry seasons in your life. There's going to be some times where it doesn't look like, come on, that it ever going to be prosperous again. Have you ever got to a point where trials in your life seem like it's something else? And it got to a place in your life where it seems, when is my change going to come, God? I'm tired of talking about what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. And God, I'm still waiting on my blessing, but I'm still trusting you, but I'm getting a little weary. And when they're during the COVID pandemic, many people, many churches, amen, they got weary and well-doing, and they just closed up and threw it away. folks that went to church for years and years, they just said, I can't do it no more, and gave up. Churches, amen, closed their doors, said, I can't do it no more. But how in the world, amen, are we going to witness to those that don't know God, that in the midst of a trial, we give up? So, Jesus said, the secret is staying connected to the vine. Lord, have mercy. Let me somebody say, God wants us to produce fruit. God wants us to produce what? Fruit. Amen. And the only way that you can continue to produce fruit is to stay connected what? To the vine.
There you go.
Amen. But the problem is, amen, everybody won't eat the fruit. I got some grapes for you. Oh, have mercy. And these grapes, amen, were connected to a grapevine. And when I eat them, they were good. Oh, have mercy. Amen. And if I eat these, these are going to be sweet and succulent also. Amen. But when I run out, amen. When I run out of fruit, Lord have mercy, I'm going to be going back to the grapevine, amen, looking for some what? More fruit. Ever got with me?
You preach it.
But the understanding is, amen, that God is trying to tell the church, amen, that you got to stop eating on the fruit and you need to stop losing on. Can't take my shoe off. Lord have mercy. In other words, what God's in the church has got to say, Lord have mercy. And we always looking for something to eat, Lord have mercy. You got hold on from church to church. I'm like, I can't go over here because I ain't getting fed. I'm meddling now. I'm meddling, amen. They ain't feeding me over here. I'm not getting out of 8,000 grapes, amen. Over here, amen. But I'm looking for 10,000 and 500. And Pastor K-Dawg ain't giving me no more grapes. And tell me I need to get off some milk and get off some meat. He ain't giving me no more grapes. And how long grapes are we doing today? Oh,
pencil.
Hey,
cool.
But God says, I want you to reduce the fruit. Stop eating on the damn old fruit. Sitting somewhere with cheese and wine and grapes and feasting every Sunday, amen. And God, folks need to hear the word in your own house, amen. And you don't even offer them a bag of two or three grapes. You're talking about, I need to be fed. No! You need, Lord have mercy, to give some fruit to somebody else. All fat and fruited up. Come on now. Lord have mercy. Every Sunday they praying and praising and giving you the what you need and the music and the drums and the song and the word and all of this, amen, is swelling you up. But you won't take the time to break somebody off a little bit of what? But we're going to see what Jesus said about this, and we're going to go on home. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Chapter 15, John, first chapter. Jesus said, I am. This is what I love about the word of God. Mm-hmm. When Moses said, who should I tell them sent me? God said, tell them I am. Then I am. In other words, God is so swagger. Lord have mercy. If I can use the day's vernacular, amen. God says, I am. In other words, I ain't going to put nothing else behind it. Whatever you stand in the need of, whatever is needed, whatever is necessary, God says, what? I am. In other words, if you need some fruit, God says, what? I am. God says, if you need a healing, God says, I am your healing. God says, if you need some money, y'all got it. I am your what? Money. God says, if you need a shelter, God says, I am. God says, if you need salvation, God says, I am. God says, if you need a friend, God says, I am. God says, if you need someone to talk to, God says, I am that person to talk to. Come on. And so Jesus tells him, I am the true one. See, you got too many folks, amen, talking about doing for the vine. Y'all remember that back in the day, amen, the vine. The vine ain't nothing but a gossip line. But God said, I am the one, true vine, not a gossip line. And the true vine will provide sustenance, amen, to the disciples, so the disciples can produce what? That's what he says. He says, my father is the husband. In other words, we're working this thing together. And when you understand that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are working together in this verse, in this chapter, amen, you'll realize, amen, that God has provided the disciples everything they need to be able to produce what fruit. In other words, God is the substance. He is the husband. Jesus is the vine. And this is the part, amen, that Jesus wants us to know, is that we're connected to the vine. We're connected with the husband. And the reason that we're connected with the husband and God, the Father, the Son, is so that we can produce fruit so somebody else can get connected to the life.
Yeah. Come on.
That's what he said. In verse 20, in verse 2, he says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, but have mercy. Word of God is nothing with us today. He said, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he perishes. Lord have mercy. I got two options. I got an option to be taken away, or I got an option to be purged. The only way you're going to produce more fruit, and I'll produce more fruit, is that the husbandman and the father, amen, prunes off, amen, this stuff.
Yeah.
See, this stuff is going to keep you from growing. So God said, I can't get you to rely on yesterday's fruit. Come on, man. I need to be able to get you some good fruit, some new fruit. So what I'm going to have to do is cut, amen, that stuff that you relied on yesterday, so the new stuff can produce fruit for those that don't know God. But we want to hold on to this fruit. Lord have mercy. Good. Lord have mercy. We're going to go down, amen. And after that fruit, I'm going to come to Brother Hampton and give me some fruit. He going to give me some fruit. Amen. But you can't remove his name. Alex going to give me some more fruit. Brandon give me some more fruit. Harris going to give me, everybody going to give me some fruit. So I'm constantly eating. Amen. I'm constantly getting fat and full. Amen. But everybody else in my network ain't eating. Why? Because I'm getting fat off the fruit, and I don't want to be purged, amen. But I don't want to be cast away, but God says, you got two choices.
Come on, dude. Come on.
He says, you can be taken away, or you can bear more fruit by getting purged, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Ask somebody, how are we going to get more fruit? You got to get purged. Yes, if you look up the vine, how people produce these great big vines every year, there's a period of time, amen, for about 5 months, amen, where there's a husbandman, somebody with some pruning knife or scissors, amen, that goes through the whole vine, takes about one man about 15 can do about 15 acres in a season, and he goes through. And he says, okay, that one's produced fruit. But in order for it to produce more fruit, I got to cut it right here. And I got to prune it right here. And then I go to the next one, I got to cut it right here. And I got to prune it right here. Because if I rely on these old shoots, these old ones, they won't produce the fruit. And they'll just get molded and they'll get brittle and they'll fall off and they won't produce fruit. That's the way the church is. We just got stagnant. We done got moldy. We done got musty. We done got in a situation where we look like we're producing, but we what? In reality, what? We not producing. Not. So in other words, God said, you come to a fork in the road. You either going to get pruned and produced, or you're going to get cut off, amen, and thrown into the fire. So God goes on to show him. Verse 3, he says, now you have clean through the word which I have spoken to you. In other words, I gave you the word. What you going to do with it? Whatever. But see, the thing about being pruned, it causes a wound. Lord have mercy. Somebody said, I won't get wounded because I'm a friend. Lord have mercy. Say, are we good and everything? But I ain't taking no wound for you. Lord have mercy. Well, in order to get prone, it's going to be a wound. Lord have mercy. God's going to have to cut that stuff off of you. Somebody said, God's going to have to cut some stuff. God's going to cut a lot of stuff off of me. I don't know what's going on. But God said, you got to cut. Can't turn. I got to cut some of that stuff off. It's going to hurt, but I'm going to have to cut it off because you can't use it. You can't be fruitful. So I got to cut it off. Look at somebody. I've been wounded. Lord have mercy. Many of y'all come to church, Lord have you been wounded. Because God's going to produce some more fruit in your life. See, that's what happens. God allows you to get wounded, amen. So you can produce fruit in that season, amen. And so you're winding down and you're rubbing those wounds, amen. And God, I know you've been wounded. I know you've been hurt. Anybody ever been church hurt? Amen. I know you've been church hurt. I know you've been wounded. But the reason I allowed you to get wounded is because 2 years from now, amen, I'm going to need you to produce some fruit, amen, that somebody else can get connected to the Bible.
Come on, Bridget.
So, he says in verse 4, this is what I love about God. He says, abide in me, and I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You see, that's the problem with the churches. We're relying too much on ourselves. But God says in his word, he says, except it abide in the vine, no one can ye except you abide in me. In other words, God said, you can't do nothing without me. I'm the Father. I'm the Son. I'm the Holy Spirit. I'm the one that will give you power. I'm the one that will give you the renewal in the time of dormancy. I'll give you renewal. Amen. With the time that you've been wounded, I'll give you what you need. I'll sustain you in the midst of the winter, in the midst of the dry season, in the midst of the park season, in the midst of the times where it's cold and you can't produce fruit, but you're relying on God to keep you alive because in due season, amen, you'll produce in your weakness. So he says, abide in me, and I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. In other words, unless you're abiding in Jesus, Lord have mercy, you can't produce fruit. And that's what the problem is in ministry. Too many people are relying on the preacher. They're relying on each other. They're not relying on the Holy Spirit. They're not relying on the Word of God. They're not relying on the things that God has ordained and set forth. They're relying too much on those who think they know, those who have been ordained by man, but have not been ordained by God. So he says, in verse 5 again, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. For without me you can do what? Nothing. That is a profound statement. God is talking to his disciples. His disciples are telling him, we can do it, God, we can do it. And he's saying, without me, you can't do what? Nothing. When God says nothing, he means nothing. In other words, if God doesn't do it, it's not going to get what? Done. And so the church needs to refocus. The church needs to understand all of this collecting fruit and eating fruit, amen, is not going to produce fruit. So you can't produce fruit, amen, while you're eating. Oh, Lord. You can't produce fruit, amen. While you eat, got fruit all in your jaws, amen. You're constantly sucking in, constantly sucking in. And then the preacher says, stop eating all that fruit so you can go do the work. Oh, my stomach hurts. I got cramps. I can't go out. I gotta run to the bathroom. Why? Because you can't eat anybody that ain't too much fruit. Yeah. I'll eat some prunes day after day after day. It'll make you quite much better. God letting us know that we need to stop eating so much fruit and start producing what? Some fruit. That's the problem with all these folks, all the churches, Lord have mercy. They say, well, I'm not getting changed. Well, they're not giving me this. I'm not getting enough fruit. I'm not getting enough grapes. I want the red grapes. I want the seedless grapes. I want the green grapes. I want these small grapes. But God said, when in the world are you going to produce some what? Grapes. But the problem is, we don't want to get pruned. See, when you get pruned, it's going to hurt. It's going to cost you in order for you to produce what? Some fruit. And the problem is, don't nobody, amen, want to get prone, amen. Nobody wants to get in a situation where they have to get purged and pulled back and told, amen, you can't eat the fruit anymore. It's time for you to reduce the fruit. In other words, it's time for you to get off the milk and get off the meat. It's time for you to start making some sacrifices. It's time for you to start acting like a child. God said we need to grow up and produce what? Some what? Yeah.
Whatever. He goes on to say, this is what's going to happen if you don't produce it. He says in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In other words, God says, if you can't produce no fruit, you're going to end up in a heap of stuff and being burned up. In other words, God says, you need to get in your mind, amen, that what God wants you to do is produce fruit. If you're not producing fruit, if you're not ministering where you are, if you're not telling people about the goodness of God, if you're not being a disciple, God does not have any use for you. He's going to cut you off, bring you in a fire, and you will be what? Burned. Lord, he's meddling now. Verse 7, he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And he says that I'm going to do this for you. Look at somebody say, God's going to do it for me, so that he can glorify the Father. Look at somebody say, he's going to do it for you, so he can glorify the Father. Somebody need to get excited about that today. Yeah, that if the word of God abides in you, and you abide in God. In other words, you're not going to ask anything outside God's will, but everything you speak, everything you do, will line up with the word of God, and watch the miracles begin to start happening in your life. Watch. Changes and things start happening in your life. Watch the windows and the doors start opening in your life, because you're no longer walking in your will, which takes you outside the vine, but you're walking in the will of God, which keeps you connected to the vine. And Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, in the will of God, it shall be done unto you. Watch as you walk, the things that you ask for will start being manifest, and you walk by faith, it'll be to start manifesting under your feet, as you begin to start walking, God will start moving on your behalf, because I'm connected to the Lamb. So he goes on and says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. I don't have enough time, so we're going to put a pin right here. But when you understand that God wants you and I to bear much fruit, he wants you to be a disciple that will bear much fruit. You got to understand the reason why is so that God can get the glory. And as the Father loved me, I will continue to love my love in you. In other words, what God says is because he loves you, he's going to bless you. That's why he went to Calvary's cross. The record says that he went to Calvary's cross on a hill far away, sitting over rugged cross, this emblem of suffering, shame, there on that cross for the world's best, a world of lost sinners was slain. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my soul rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now at the end, I declare today that someday somebody walked through and gave you some fruit. I'm declaring today that somebody was producing fruit in your neighborhood. I'm declaring today that somebody was connected to the vine. I'm declaring today that they won't pull up about themselves. They were the true disciples of God. That somebody told you that God so loved the world, and he gave his
only begotten Son, then whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm just glad today that there is a true mind, and it is connected to the mind. God will give you power. Somebody said, I've got power because I'm connected to the true mind. Somebody said, I've got power because God is the husbandman. And even though he bruised me from time to time, he'll heal. He'll heal your body. He'll make a way out of no way. He'll turn the situation around. God will. Somebody said, God will. God will. He'll do exactly what he said he will do. God will. He'll turn the situation around. And it ain't too late in the midnight hour. Well, I'm telling you, God won't take the fruit, but God knows what you need, and he'll give you enough fruit to be able to survive. Somebody said God is more than enough. I'm just glad today that when you needed the fruit, I'm not talking about excess fruit, but when you needed God to pour out a blessing, that God looked past your heart and gave you what you need. Somebody said God will give you what you need when you need it. Somebody said when you want him to, he's always, 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 always. God is always on time. He's a friend that will be closer than a brother. He's a friend that will be there when nobody else will be there. He's a friend that will let you go. And I love you. I'll be there for you. I'll make a way for you. I'll do whatever you need. Your word in me, my word in you, but you will. And he said, you see, I've got my people, but she got a head in the neck to the vine. He got our vine in the vine. And if you stay connected, and if you're abiding in the vine, why are you doing the same? Why are you doing ministry? You won't worry about this vine. It might not be a whole lot of people, but you're still connected to the vine. You might not see it produce overnight, but you're still connected to the vine. Father God, you've been doing this for 20 years. God has blessed you. God has fed you. God has given you everything you needed for 20 years. You're still abiding in the vine. God is still allowing you to produce fruit. And so now, you're coming out of the dormant season. Look at somebody say, we're coming out of the dormant season. Somebody said, I've been pruned and ready to produce more fruit. You have been pruned, gone to the garden. Now you're ready to produce more fruit. God will give you some fruit, go in your body. And when she is, look out the land. They went and spied out the 12 spies. Looked over there. And he said, good God Almighty, they got grapes. They got grapevines so big. And it takes two men to catch. That's the kind of fruit God's looking for. But then you have some naysayers. They said, not only do they got fruit over there, but they got giants over there. And we can't defeat the giants, so we can't go take the land. But Caleb and Joshua said, we are more than able to pursue and take the land. So you gotta have that faith that keeps you connected to the vine, to the vine. That even in the midst of overwhelming physical circumstances, you'll be able to stand with more than evil. You'll be able to stand and say, God is able. You'll be able to stand and say, God is the great I am that I am. And whatever he says, he'll do exactly the way he said he'll do. But you gotta stay connected. Thank you.
with your heart. Some of you have been through some proving before, if I'm not mistaken. The sheep is where you produce. And then all the fruit was taken from your production. You got a little despair, a lot of depression. I don't have any more fruit in. There's no one here because I don't have any fruit. God said, don't worry about it. This is your season of renewing. It's your season of refreshing. It's your season of being full. But you're going to produce more fruit. Look at somebody say you're going to produce more fruit. And so God will begin to prune this. And God will begin to prune that. God will begin to prune that. Amen. And in due time, there'll be a bud. And after that bud, there'll be a cane. After that cane, there'll be another bud, another cane, and another shoot. And then you'll start having this fruit again. That people want to come in and they will receive the fruit. But don't get mad, amen, if someone has already taken the fruit and you're down low. God has just proved that all the stuff I'm going with is coming up. But you got to be willing to be proof. Be important. God wants you to live more free. Look at somebody say, don't give up, my brother. God wants you to live more free. Don't give up, my sister. God wants you to live more free. Don't give up, church. God wants you to live more free. So take the fruit. So take the renewing. But if it's running about, you're not. There might be someone here today who doesn't know Jesus in the pre-parting of this. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit that we talked about in the 27th verse of John the 15th chapter. To let you know that God wants you to bear some fruit. But in order to do that, you got to get connected to the vine. God will adopt you into his family. He'll engraft you into the body of Christ. He'll renew your spirit. He'll give you a new walk, a new tone. But you got to make the choice. To the vine. God will bless you.
according to the word.